This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are here with Jackie Carr, a board-certified nurse and esthetician at Ophthalmic Plastic and Cosmetic Surgery in St. Louis, Missouri. Jackie is here to speak with us about dermal fillers on this episode of eHealth Radio. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you this morning. So for starters, what are dermal fillers and how are they different from Botox or Dysport?
Sure. For the botulinum toxin A products, we now have Botox, which was the original botulinum toxin used, and then they came out with Dysport and then now Xeomin. And those three, which would be a whole other conversation, are applied a little differently as far as application goes. But as far as the difference between the botulinum toxins and the fillers is that in the mechanism by which they work. The botulinum toxin A's work at the neuromuscular junction. So when they are injected into a muscle group, they actually cleave to the nerve ending and cause a relaxation to the muscle, and that's how you get smoothing of those muscles. The fillers actually are injected into the dermis, and they give a lifting ability to the lines. And then, of course, we have all different types of dermal fillers on the market. The original ones were animal-derived and collagen fillers. Xyderm and Xyplast, originally used in the 1980s, which had some limitations, and that's what actually what I first started using back in the early 2000s. And because of they were a bovine-derived collagen filler, there was a requirement for skin testing to help reduce the chance of patients having an allergic reaction. We could rule those patients out, but it didn't ultimately mean that a patient couldn't develop an allergy later on, and they only lasted about 2 to 4 months. Early in the 2000s, about 2003, Restylane was launched, and that's actually a hyaluronic acid. What's interesting about hyaluronic acid is that it's in all living organisms. We have it in our the valves of our hearts. We have it in our skin. And as I said, it's a natural occurring sugar acid in all living organisms. So there's no skin testing required for that. And the way that they have engineered these newer HAs, they're more durable and longer lasting. In many cases, they can last 6 to 12 months. And we even have a newer one out called Voluma that can last up to 2 years in some patients.
Jackie, how has dermal fillers changed the cosmetic industry, specifically addressing the drop in surgical procedures in 2014?
Sure. I think a lot of things have changed simply because we're becoming more and more educated about the aging process and what's really going on with the facial structure itself. I think in the past, before the fillers really had evolved, we were kind of thinking that gravity was just taking over and we just would pull up the skin. And so what we've learned is that the facial aging process begins with surface and subsurface changes in multiple facial layers, including the skin, the fat, the muscle, and the bone. And before we had the fillers, we really didn't have any way to simulate getting back that volume that was lost to the face. So I think patients have more options at this point. Certainly some patients still will opt to do surgery as early as in the 40s is what I've seen with some patients. But for those patients that don't want surgical intervention, they can go to fillers, and that can give back some volume, which helps reduce the jowling and some of the facial lines themselves and gives a more youthful profile to the face. The face changes interdependently. So, like I said, we get some shrinkage of the bones, the muscles change, the fat pads start to shrink, and we do have some skin changes, which we can also use lasers to try to help with some of that. But the fillers have really helped change the whole cosmetic world for us in that we can augment those facial fat pads.
How do you determine which dermal filler to use on a patient?
Well, a lot of times I like to do a consultation first which may be different from some other offices. I like to just take a look at the patient, kind of find out what their goals are, see what they're seeing, and it may not be the same thing that I'm seeing. In the past, before we had Voluma, which is the newest HA on the market that is developed for actually augmenting the midface or the cheekbone area, we would use these fillers to simply fill in the lines, which are called the nasolabial lines, from the smile lines around the mouth and the marionettes or even the lips. So we would go in directly to treat those areas. But now that we have fillers that are durable and can actually be placed right on top of the bone in the midface, we're looking more at trying to give that youthful cheekbone appearance to the midface, which can actually lift up that area, causing less jowling and less appearance of the nasolabial fold, and at which case, if we need to, then we can go back in with the older fillers and fill those areas in. So I usually just take a look at the patient, find out what their goals are, and see if I can meet those goals. And sometimes I'll actually send them off to have surgery. Sometimes patients come in, they want filler to the tear trough, which is a highly advanced technique. If I feel that they would be better served to have surgery, then I would go ahead and send them off to an oculoplastic surgeon, which I'm lucky I happen to work with one of the best in the United States, Dr. John Holds. Or if they feel that they really need a facelift more than they need fillers, then I'll send them off to an appropriate cosmetic surgeon that can provide that for them. So it's just taking a look at their bone structure, their skin. If they don't have enough collagen because they've been sitting out in the sun and their collagen and elastin has all been degraded, you know, they may not be the best dermal filler candidate. Or we could even try a different filler called Sculptra that actually helps stimulate the patient's own collagen. If we could do a series of that, get some collagen built up, and then go in after that with the hyaluronic acids, we could get probably a nice effect. But all of those things have to be taken into account when you're looking at a dermal filler patient.
Certainly appreciate that detailed information today. We are with Jackie Carr, a board-certified nurse and esthetician at Ophthalmic Plastic and Cosmetic Surgery in St. Louis, Missouri, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Jackie, what are dermal fillers commonly used to correct?
Okay, so, and I'm a nurse practitioner. I just want to throw that out there because that's my highest degree. And commonly, we've always worked on deep to moderate lines and wrinkles. So in the past, that's always been the nasolabial folds, the marionettes. We have a newer filler out called Restylane Silk, which is great for lips and vertical lip lines. So some of them are designed for moderate to deep lines. Some of them are developed to stimulate your own collagen, so that would be Sculptra. Some of them have been developed to treat lipoatrophy, which is a disorder for HIV patients. They get a hollowing out and a lot of facial fat atrophy of the skin. And so we can go in with Sculptra and help stimulate their own collagen. It's been very helpful for those patients. And then the newest filler is the Voluma XC, which is designed to be extremely durable and work deep down subcutaneously or the superperiosteal, which means right on top of the bone, for cheek augmentation, and that can last up to 2 years in some patients. So it really just depends on what area you're working on, and some of these products can be layered. Some of them can be placed more superficial dermis to get really fine wrinkles, or if you need a more robust filler, you need something to give a better fill or lifting ability, you might want to go to a different product such as Perlane or the Juvederm Ultra Plus XC.
Lastly, how can a patient determine how to use the right injector?
Sure. I think doing your homework, and certainly I am collaborated with a oculoplastic surgeon myself, and he is here in the office. So I think asking questions when you go in and sit down and do an interview with an injector, make sure that you have a good rapport with them, that you feel comfortable with them, that they are well experienced. So my thought is I don't want to take my import car to somebody that doesn't work on imports every day, and I wouldn't want to go to a plastic surgeon for liposuction if he doesn't practice liposuction frequently. So I think finding out what their track record is, making sure that they're very experienced, and that they're not just out to try to fill you up with a lot of product and send you on your way. My idea of great patient care is having a good rapport with the patients, making sure that they're taken care of, and that they return. I'd rather have one patient that comes back to me for 10 years consistently than to have 100 that show up one time and leave the office and they never see them again. So I think sitting down with your injector or interviewing someone that potentially could be your injector and making sure that you have a good rapport with them, maybe asking friends. I have a lot of my patients that are referrals from mothers, daughters, friends, and that's basically the best way that I've been able to build my practice up is by referrals from friends and family.
Well, Jackie, certainly has been good to have spoken with you today. Great information. Tell our listeners where they can get more information on ophthalmic plastic and cosmetic surgery online and how they can be in touch.
Sure. Dr. John Holds, you can find him at eyelidmd, eyelidmd.com. And I have my website is Medispa St. Louis, MedispaStLouis.com. And we can both be reached at 314-567-3567. And for those that are local here, I do give free consultations. I love to meet new people and try to help them out. If I can't find out, if I can't help you in a direct way, I'd be happy to help refer you off to where you need to be.
Well, Jack, it certainly has been good to have spoken with you once again, and you have a great weekend and look forward to another opportunity of having you come back to spend a moment with us here on eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric. You have a great day. Take care.
We've been speaking with Jackie Carr, a board-certified nurse practitioner and esthetician at Ophthalmic Plastic and Cosmetic Surgery in St. Louis, Missouri. And once again, the websites of reference is eyelidmd.com as well as MediSpaSt.Louis.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.